Good morning, everybody. How's everybody today? Blessed? Good. And highly favored? Amen. Well, I hope you all had a good Christmas. And remembered that the reason for the season is Jesus. Amen. You know, before we do anything, I'd like everybody to stand and we're going to go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this time that we have to spend together. We thank you for this time that we get to hear your word, Father. We just give you glory and honor where it's due to you, Father. For you are the provider for us, the comforter for us, and we just give you glory and honor. And we thank you for all that you have given to us this day and all of our days, Father. We thank you. In Jesus' name, we all said, amen. Amen. God is good. And all the time. I love that. You can sit down. God is good. The Holy Spirit put on my heart to talk today about something that is important. For the sake of recording, Peter, we're going to name this the purpose of passion, all right? Passion, it's a funny word. When you hear the word passion, I'm not sure the first thing you might think about is church. You might think about your wife or your husband, or all right, that might be the first thing you think about, but when you think about passion, I want you to understand that passion is a strong word. Amen. It's a very strong word. The dictionary, Merriam-Webster's dictionary, says that passion, to have passion, is to have a strong feeling of enthusiasm. That's very important. A strong feeling of enthusiasm or excitement for something or about doing something. That's passion, an excitement or an enthusiasm about something or about doing something. For most people, doing something means that they have a purpose for doing something. I mean, you don't just do something to do something. There is usually a reason why you do something. So there's a purpose then for their passion. If passion is enthusiasm or excitement about something or about doing something, so when you do something, then with purpose, then that should be done with enthusiasm or excitement, which is passion. And when you think about your life, think about your husband if you're married or your wife if you're married, you might be passionate about them. Or you think about your kids, if you have kids, you might be passionate about them. Or maybe it's music, that you're passionate about music. Or maybe it's your job and you're passionate about your job. But sometimes I think we miss something. There is something else I think that we should be or have, that we should have passion for. You see, I think sometimes our mind just limits to what we see, and then we have enthusiasm or passion about that. I see my car, I'm passionate about my car. I see my clothes, I'm passionate about clothes. I see Christmas, I'm passionate about Christmas. But are we passionate about the reason for Christmas? Are we passionate about the reason why we're here? Are we passionate about our purpose? Do we have enthusiasm about Jesus? Do we have enthusiasm about what Jesus has done for you? If not, then it's not really passion. If you're not excited about what Jesus did for you, then you're not passionate about it. If you don't have enthusiasm, or you're not excited about Jesus saving you from the pit of hell, then you're not passionate about Jesus. Amen? Sometimes I think I get more passionate sometimes about my wife. I love her. Or my kids. But where is my excitement about Jesus? Where is our excitement about the one true God? Amen? Where is that excitement? I ask that only because that's what I ask myself. Where is my passion? Let's turn to Philippians. We're going to read through some scripture. I want you to see something. Passion is a strong word. And to be passionate, I think, is even stronger. Philippians chapter 3, and we're going to read verses 7 through 9. I'm reading from the New International Version, the NIV. Philippians 3, 7 through 9, very simply says, Paul is speaking here to the church of Philippi, and it says, "But whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. Verse 8, what is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord." Now, those words right there, I think, have enthusiasm and have excitement. Let's read that again. Verse 8, it says, "What is more, I consider everything I lost Everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish that I may gain Christ. Now, Paul is speaking enthusiastically and with excitement. So that means he's speaking with passion about what it says right here about what is more is the greatness of knowing Christ Jesus. I want to read it in the Message. The Message says it this way. The very credentials these people are waving around as something special, I'm tearing up and throwing out with the trash. Along with everything else I used to take credit for. And why? Because of Christ. Yes, all the things I once thought were so important are gone from my life compared to the high privilege of knowing Christ Jesus as my master. Firsthand, everything I once thought I had going for me is insignificant. Dog dung. I've dumped it all in the trash so that I could embrace, another strong word, Christ and be embraced by him. I didn't want some petty, inferior brand of righteousness that comes from keeping a list of rules when I could get the robust kind that comes from trusting Christ, God's righteousness. These words right here have enthusiasm and have excitement and has passion. Paul, if you know anything about Paul, he was a scholarly person. He was part of the Pharisees. He was part of the Sadducees, I think. Pharisees. So he knew a lot. He was schooled. He was knowledgeable. He was very intelligent. And here it says this, I count it as nothing. The very credentials, I'm tearing up and throwing out. The very credentials to him is so insignificant. It's like dog dung. That's like saying, if I have a PhD, who cares? Compared to knowing Christ, who cares? It's insignificant to the knowledge of knowing Christ. Now, I looked at this scripture and I thought of myself. I'm not bragging. I'm not doing anything. I have a master's degree. A lot of people do that. I have a lot of certifications. I have a lot of other things that I've done before. But knowing Christ is more important. Because all of those things that I have will only get me some places in this life. But knowing Christ will not only get me places in this life, but beyond. So what's more? Christ. To know Christ. That's why the word says to know Christ is to gain. It doesn't say to know Christ is to just for this life be okay. No. It says to gain. So after Paul considered everything that he ever accomplished, and we can do that as well. Take a look at your life. Everything that you ever accomplished in your life. Paul decided that it was not important, as not as important as knowing Christ. When compared to how great it is to know Christ and to know God, all of these things that we have in the past, or little initials you have by your name, or whatever, means nothing when compared to knowing Christ. Paul states here in Philippians that we should value our relationship with Christ more than we value anything else. We should value our relationship with Christ before anything else. We should think that our relationship with Christ is more important than anything else. We should have such enthusiasm about our relationship with Christ than anything else. We should have such excitement that we have a relationship with Christ than any other relationship that we ever have. Why? Because what is the purpose? What is the purpose for the excitement of knowing Christ? It's to be with the Father for eternity. So the purpose for our passion is to know Christ over all things so that we can be with him for eternity. But, Pastor, I'm going to steal your scripture from this morning, Revelations 3, 15 and 16. But what happens if we are lukewarm? What happens if we don't have that enthusiasm? What happens if we don't have that excitement? That means we do not then have passion. Then that means that we are thinking of other things just as important or more important than knowing Christ. Thus, we don't have passion for Christ. Thus, we are lukewarm. And what happens? Spit you out of my mouth. When we think of passion, when I thought of passion at first, I thought of passion, something that's hot. Not lukewarm. There's excitement. There's enthusiasm, right? When we have passion, we're excited about it. If you're passionate about music, then you're passionate. You're excited. If you're passionate about whatever it is you're passionate about, anything, then you have excitement. But what happens? What happens now? Are you passionate about Christ? That's a question you might want to ask. To know Christ should be our ultimate goal and our purpose. Yet, how do we do that? How do we know him better? How do we pursue him? How do we be hot for Jesus? Well, the word gives us four different ways. The first one is found in Matthew 11:29, to study the life of Christ. To be passionate about something, you know about that. Therefore, to be passionate about Christ, you have to know about Christ. That would be one good place to start. Colossians 1:15-2:15 tells us that we should study the word. Study the word that Christ gave to us. Because then we would know the mind of Christ. Then we would know the mind of God. Then we would know how to do the things we need to do to be passionate about Christ. Study the word. John 14:26 tells us, as we worship and pray, let the Holy Spirit remind us of all that Christ has done for us. The last thing that the word tells us to better pursue him tells us in Matthew 28:19 and Philippians 3:10. Tells us to take up Christ's mission. What was Christ's mission? Change the world. Christ's mission was to preach the gospel. When we're passionate about something, and I'm going to use music because I like music a lot. When you're passionate about music, you want to tell everybody about what's going on with this new music because you're passionate about it. Well, Christ wasn't passionate about music. Christ was passionate about eternity. Christ was passionate about us knowing how to get there. So Christ talked about how to do that, how we should live, how to have God's righteousness. So if we take up Christ's mission, that means we need to go out and tell people how to connect to God and be passionate about it, to be hot about it. Just like you're passionate about the new movie that came out, that's Avengers or Marvel or DC or whatever, or a new whatever. It doesn't make a difference what it is. Just as you go out and tell your friends, oh, you got to see this movie. Oh, you got to listen to this song. Just like that, we should preach the gospel. Just like that. And if we're not, if we shy away, that means we're not hot for Christ. When we get down to it, where the rubber meets the road, that's what that means. So where are we? Where am I? Where are you? That's what we have to ask. When we leave these doors, are we going to be hot for Christ, or are we just going to go back to being hot for the Marvel movies, or the next book that comes out, or the next series, or the next great TV show? That's what we have to ask ourselves. So what does that mean? So to do these things, you, me, to do these things, to be hot for Christ, or to be passionate for what he stood for, what does that mean? That means that we, you, me, everybody, has to change. There has to be a change. There has to be a change. It has to take place inside. It has to be inside of you. Now, some people be like, oh, yeah, I'm changed. Okay, are you? Because if we go out and do the same thing we've been doing, then we're not. Are we willing to change the values in order to follow Christ? Are we willing to change? Am I, you could say, am I willing to change my values in order to know Christ better? Am I willing to fix or rearrange my crowded schedule in order to set aside a few minutes each day to pray or study the word? Am I willing to change my plans, my goals, my desires, everything that I want to do in order to conform to what Christ wants me to do? Am I willing for that? That's what I asked myself. So I pose those questions to you. Are you willing? Are Christians actually willing to change their lifestyle? Just as it says in Romans 12:2, to transform their mind. To be transformed. Are we willing to transform our passion from books and music and movies and whatever, to transform our passions from that to Christ? Are you willing? Am I willing to change my passion for stuff of this world to be passionate about things that are could come? Ooh, that's a tough question. Am I willing to be more passionate about the love of Christ and what Christ has done for me than I am about my wife? Love God before all things. Jesus tells us in Matthew, let's see. Well, I can't find it right now. It's okay. The two commandments that Jesus tells us are, number one is to do what? So the first one that Jesus says is to love the Lord your God with passion. Because it says, he says, love the Lord your God with all of your heart, all of your soul, all of your body, everything you got, love the Lord your God. Now, if that's not excitement and enthusiasm and passion, I don't know what is, because that's everything I got. And now then, love your neighbor. Let's turn to Ephesians. When you get to Ephesians, say amen, if you have your Bible. So Paul gave up everything, his friends, his family, his freedom, in order to know Christ better. Paul gave all that aside, put all that aside so that he would know Christ better and to know the power of God better. According to the word, we have access to that same knowledge and that same power, but we have to make sacrifices in order to fully enjoy it. See, Paul had to make sacrifices. And if we look at every other great person in the Bible, they had to make sacrifices. So therefore, if we can look at what the word tells us, if they had to make sacrifices in order to know Christ better, then we have to make sacrifices in order to know Christ better. It's not just about coming to church on Sunday. It's a little bit more than that. Now, sometimes coming to church on Sunday is a sacrifice. When I first moved here, I realized that NFL was on at the same time church was. Well, I had to make a sacrifice. The Bears weren't on TV anyway, so it didn't matter. Paul gave everything up in order to pursue Christ. What are we willing to give up in order to pursue Christ in the same way? What are we willing to do? Ephesians chapter 3. Well, not yet. The Holy Spirit's working here. I think what we have to ask ourselves is, do we even take Christ serious? And I say that, do we take the words that Paul has written here serious? Do we take the words that are written in this serious? Because I think if we did, we might be a little more passionate about what's in there. Are we willing to get passionate about the things that we say we are? We say we're a Christian, which means that we're a follower of Christ. So, are we passionate about that? Do we do that with enthusiasm? When somebody says, oh, you go to church? You say, yeah, on Sundays and Wednesdays. Or do we get excited about it? Yeah, you should come. We do this and this and this is great. It'd be a good fit for you. Are we passionate about that? Are we excited about that? Do we say things with enthusiasm? Are we willing to give up and sacrifice the way that Paul did? Are we willing to give up a crowded schedule? Are we willing to give up a friend's approval? Are we willing to give up plans or pleasures that we think are the best thing for us? Do you think Christ is worth the sacrifice? Because I'm pretty sure he thought we were worth his sacrifice. In the mind of Christ, he saw us today. He saw everybody who was going to come after him. And he said, you're worth this, so I'm going to do it. Do we think that same way about him? Do we look back and say, I'm going to live today because you're worth it? In the mind of Christ, he saw that and he took it serious. In our minds, we can look back at that and say, I'm going to take that serious. I'm going to live it out loud. I'm going to be passionate about Christ. Or you can choose not to be. And then Revelation says, you're lukewarm and I'm going to spit you out of my mouth. He was willing and chose to actually sacrifice for us. He was willing. I'm pretty sure he could have said no and not, but he chose to actually be the sacrifice. Now, Christ had a purpose. He knew his purpose. He pursued his purpose. And his purpose was to reach the world. His purpose was to change the world. And he did so passionately. Because if he wasn't excited about it, if he wasn't enthusiastic about it, I'm pretty sure that he might have quit. Sometimes we get that way. We get excited, so enthusiastic about something, and then something bad happens, and I can't do this. I'm not really that excited about it. I lost my enthusiasm. Well, Christ, think about the Christ. That's why it's so important to know the life of Christ. He was going, he did a lot of good things, and something would happen. He could have said, oh, you know what, this is too hard. I'm not really excited about being in front of high priests and getting interviewed and interrogated like this. you know, I don't, that's not really my bag and not really my thing. And, you know, I'm just going to go and live and be a fisherman, and it's cool. He was so passionate about what his purpose was. He knew the end goal. He knew what was going to happen. Even he knew everything that was going to happen today and what's going to happen in the future. He knew that. And he was so passionate about what was going to happen because of his sacrifice that he just went along with it and said, okay, because I know what's going to happen, I'm going to do this. And I'm going to do it passionately. Talk about having a purpose and talking about living it with enthusiasm and living it with passion. Jesus is the classic example. So, the Holy Spirit told me, or asked me, where's your passion? Where's your purpose? Or where's your passion for your purpose? Do we have a purpose? What's our purpose? Matthew tells us, Mark tells us, that is to seek the kingdom of God, spread the gospels, make disciples of many, all nations, of all people. That means we have to go out and actually talk to people about the word of God. And be passionate about it. I don't know about you, but if somebody comes to me and they're excited about something, it starts to get me excited. They start talking about something, I'm getting pumped about it. Somebody comes talking to me like, hey, you know what, I got this over here, and it's kind of cool. And it's cool sometimes, and sometimes it's not that cool. And it depends on what day it is, you know, but you should come anyway. Nobody's going to get excited over that. Nobody's going to get excited over ho-hum stuff. People get excited when a person is talking to them and they're excited about what it is they're saying. You know what? Christ died for you. It's exciting. He could have said no and you'd be dead. But no, he said yes. And we get to live. Amen? So 2014 is coming to an end and 2015 is coming up. A new year. Do we have a purpose for 2015? Do you have a purpose for 2015? Do I have a purpose for 2015? If you do... We just talked about that we do. Then, do we have the passion to see it through? Do you have the passion to see your purpose through? Do I have the passion to see my purpose through? See, in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 2, it says, surely you have heard about the administration of God's grace that was given to me for you. That is, the mystery made known to me by revelation. In Ephesians chapter 3, verse 2, we started. As I have always already written briefly, in reading this then, you will be able to understand my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to men in other generations, as it is now been revealed by the Spirit to God's holy apostles and prophets. This mystery is that through the gospel, the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel, members together of one body, and sharers together in the promise of Christ Jesus. I became a servant of the gospel by the gift of God's grace given me through the working of his power. Although I am less than the least of all God's people, this grace was given to me to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of God and to make plain to everyone the administration of this mystery, which for the ages past was kept hidden from God, in God who created all things. His intent was that now through the church, through the body, through the people, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms according to his eternal purpose, which he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. God did a lot of things on purpose. God is doing a lot of things on purpose. And he's doing them with passion and enthusiasm and excitement. Look around us. There's miracles. There's healings all over the place. Now, if that's not enthusiastic about eternity with God, I don't know what is. To see that God actually is working here presently, and there's people getting healed and saved and walking and blind seeing, that's pretty exciting. Now in Romans, it says that God's wisdom is beyond us. So we don't know all the things that God has for us, but we do know a couple other things. God is knowing what we're doing. God has a purpose for us. God has a purpose for me. He is passionate about me, otherwise I'm pretty sure I may not be here. He's passionate about us. He gave us a purpose so that we can be passionate about him. He's so passionate about us humans, us, you, me, that he sent his own son to die on the cross. Now some people say he loved us so much. Yeah, he did. And that's passion. When you love something, you're passionate about it. He loved you so much. He had so much passion for you. He had so much excitement and enthusiasm for you that he gave you a purpose and he gave you a way to fulfill that purpose. That's awesome. He said, look, son, I love you. Now I'm going to give you a way to come to me. It's cool. Just follow my lead. 2 Corinthians, chapter 4, verse 16 says, therefore we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. There is a reason to be passionate about God. Because there are things that we don't know that he knows that are before us that we can be excited about, that we can be passionate for. It's easy to lose a heart. It's easy to lose the passion and quit. It's easy. We see it all over the place. Probably just talk to somebody that you know. It's easy to quit. It's very difficult to keep going. But we just read in the Word that there is more. We fix our eyes not on what is seen. We fix our eyes on what is unseen. It's easy to quit. We face all these problems. I don't know how many of you faced a problem this week. All right? Problems in our relationships, problems in work. That probably caused you to stop and think and be like, I'm not sure I should work here. Or, I'm not sure I should stay with this person. Or, I don't know what's going on. Rather than quitting when persecuted, Paul pressed in harder. Rather than quitting when Jesus took the whippings, he kept going. Rather than quitting on the road to where he was going to be crucified, he kept going. It's easy to quit, but that's not having passion. Rather than quitting, Paul, Jesus, Moses, how many people should we talk about in the Bible? Could bring up a lot of people. They had troubles. Job, they had situations that come in front of them, and I'm sure they could have just said, this is way too hard. But no, they knew the one true God. And so they were passionate about him and didn't stop. Turn to Joshua. I want to read a story. Let's see. Y'all know who Joshua is, right? Joshua chapter 14. We're going to read a story about Caleb. Chapter 14, verse 6. Joshua. If you're all there, I'm glad. I'm not there yet. All right, here we go. Chapter 14. We're gonna read verses 6 through 14. It says here, now the men of Judah approached Joshua at Gilgal, son and Caleb, son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said to him, you know what the Lord said to Moses, the man of God, at Kadesh Barnea, about you and me? I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to explore the land, and I brought him back a report according to my convictions. But my brothers who went up with me made the hearts of the people melt with fear. I, however, followed the Lord my God wholeheartedly. So on the day Moses swore to me, the land on which your feet have walked will be your inheritance and that of your children forever, because you have followed the Lord my God wholeheartedly. Verse 10. Now then, just as the Lord promised, he has kept me alive for 45 years since the time he said to Moses, while Israel moved about in the desert. So here I am today, 85 years old. I am still as strong today as the day Moses sent me out. I'm just as vigorous to go out to battle now as I was then. Now give me this hill country the Lord promised me that day. You yourself heard that the Anakites were there and their cities were large and fortified, but the Lord helping me, I will drive them out just as he said. Verse 13, then Joshua blessed Caleb, son of Jephunneh, and gave him Hebron as his inheritance. So Hebron has belonged to Caleb, son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, ever since, because he followed the Lord, the God of Israel, wholeheartedly. Now I read the story because what we read here is that Caleb was faithful. From the beginning, he was one of the original scouts that went out to scout out the land to see if there were cities and people and giants and whatnot. And he was sent into the promised land to check out for those things. He knew that God would help the people conquer the land, because when he went out, he saw the giants and the cities and all those things. But he knew that God had promised this land to them. And so he knew that God was going to be behind them. Now, if we go across the hill and we see a bunch of giants and big cities of people that we have no what's going on, do we get scared? And no, we don't go over there. We live in, we're okay. Let's hear them there. It's okay. We don't go over there. I know we're supposed to go over there. That's where we're supposed to go. But there's people over there that are, you know, 8 feet tall. And we just don't go over there. Now, that's what Caleb could have said. But he knew. He was passionate about what he knew, that he said, you know what? I see all that there, but it doesn't matter. God's with us. So his faith made him strong so that he could tell the people, hey, there's giants there, but hey, you know what? It's all right. God's with us. God's going to protect us. God's going to get us through. He was faithful to the end. Now, he could have stopped. The whole Israelite army could have stopped. All the people could have stopped and said, we'll just stay here. But that wasn't the promise. The promise was to go into the land and establish the land. So they could have stopped. Oh, there's giants there. There's people there. They're gonna kill us. It's going to be bad. But no, they knew the promise. Because Caleb knew the promise, 45 years later, that promise was fulfilled. He remained faithful for 45 years, no matter what happened. And because of that, he got his inheritance. Like Caleb, we must remain faithful. Like Caleb here, we have to remain faithful, because if we know our purpose and we know the promises that God has bestowed upon us in the Word, then we might have to wait 45 years. But if we don't wait 45 years, we're not going to have the promise. Caleb waited 45 years because he knew God's purpose, and he continued to serve him with passion, and then he got his promise. So what we see here is that God gave him a promise. He pursued that promise with passion, and the promise was fulfilled. I'm sure the same thing happened with Jesus. God gave Jesus a promise. Jesus pursued that with passion. The promise was fulfilled. Paul, there was a purpose for him. He pursued that purpose with passion, and now that promise was fulfilled. You have a purpose. All you have to do now is pursue that purpose with passion, and the promise will be fulfilled. We see it all through the Word. 2 Corinthians, New Testament. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Chapter 5, verse 9 says this: so we make it our goal to please him, whether we are at home in the body or away from it. What we have learned is that as godly people, our purpose in life needs to be directed by God. Our purpose in life is directed by God. And when we passionately pursue that purpose that's directed by God, the promises are fulfilled. But we have to understand that it is pursuing God, pursuing God's purpose with passion, that then the promises can be fulfilled. Remember what passion means: a strong feeling of enthusiasm or excitement for something, or a strong feeling or enthusiasm about doing something. You see, Moses had a passion for the purpose of setting the Israelites free. He pursued that with passion. The promise was fulfilled. Our purpose is to please God in this life and for eternity. But we have to actively pursue him. We have to actively get involved in the relationship with Jesus Christ. You cannot have a passive relationship with somebody and be passionate about that. I can't be in a relationship with my wife and you stay over there and I'll stay over here, but we're married. Love you. Can't happen that way. That's not passion. That's not actively pursuing a relationship. We have to actively pursue the relationship. How do we do that? We have to follow the Word. We have to follow what Christ taught. And we can actively pursue that relationship with him. That means we have to know what he taught. We have to listen to what he taught. They call him the great teacher because he taught things that we have to listen to and follow. The righteousness of God was a gift bestowed by God on us because he passionately wants us to be with him for eternity. But we have to accept that righteousness, actively accept that righteousness by accepting the standard that God has given us. We have to accept the standard that God has given us, not like the world has given us, what God has given us. And when we actively pursue that standard, just like Moses, just like Noah, just like Jesus, just like Paul, just like any other people we want to talk about, promises will be fulfilled. But we have to actively pursue that relationship. That means we have to get involved with Jesus Christ. If I want to have a relationship with Nina, we have to get involved. I have to be actively knowing what she likes. What do I like? What do you like? What do you want to do? You want to do this? You want to do that? We have to be involved. So how do we actively pursue a relationship with Jesus Christ? Well, we have faith in the things that are unseen. We don't put faith in the things that are seen. We put faith in the things that are unseen. We know Christ. We study the Word. We pray. We worship. We hear from the Lord. We actively pursue. But, there's always a but. Are we willing to change? Are we willing to change our values, the things that we think are okay, in order to know Christ better? Are we willing to do that? When we are willing to do that, then we will be actively pursuing Christ with passion. When we're willing to give up what's over here for what's over here, then we're going to be actively passionate about getting over here. If I'm able to let go of the things over here, then I'm going to be passionate about the things over there. If Christ is over there, that means that we are passionate about Christ, and we're going to get there no matter what. No matter what it takes, no matter what's in our way, we're going to get there because we're passionate about that. Are we willing to rearrange our life to pursue Christ? If we are, then that's good. If we're not, then let's think about it. So, as this year comes to an end, and this new one comes up. Now, some people call this a season. Some people call it a season, and some people call it a year. It's actually just another day. But in our mind, it's a milestone. It's a one-year milestone. In our mind, so we can grasp the concept of something new, it's a milestone. But it's really no different than another day. I mean, we don't wake up from December 31st to January 1st and be like, oh my gosh, it's amazing. It's just another day, really. But in our mind, we think like that. So with this milestone or this particular season coming to an end, how will you bring yourself into that new season? There are probably changes in your life that you need to make. And I'm sure you've heard this time and time again. There are probably changes that we all need to make. Well, there's no time like the present to change them, for real. Or will you go on doing the things of your flesh that you like to do because you like to do it, where there's no sacrifice? Are we going to take Christ serious in this new season? He took us serious. Let's think about taking him serious. Amen? Now let's stand up. And I want you to stand in reverence to the Lord. I want you to close your eyes. I really like visualizations and closing of your eyes and reflecting on things. I want you to close your eyes. I want you to look at your life this past year. Really, close your eyes. Actively pursue this. Close your eyes and reflect on your life this past year and what you see. How serious did you take Christ in 2014? How serious did you take Christ in 2014? And all the things that you've done, all the things that you've been through, how serious did you take Christ? I encourage you right now to think about Caleb. The story we read about Caleb, where there was a promise that he would be inherited the land, and he took God serious and actively stayed faithful. Through all the things that he had gone through, he stayed faithful, and the promise was fulfilled. I encourage you to keep that in mind as you think about your life. 2015 is coming, and we got a couple days until that time. And Romans 12:1-2 says, keep your eyes closed, please. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. I encourage you, think about that. live to please God with His purpose in mind, but pursue it and live it with passion. And the promises that God has made in your life will come to pass, just as it did with Caleb, just as it did with Moses, just as it did with Peter and Paul, Jesus, Job, Abraham. If you need a change, if you know that you need a change, you can do this right where you're at. Close your eyes, put your hands on your chest, and give yourself a big hug. If you need a change, change. Renew your mind. Get into the Word. Pray. Worship. Seek God's face. Be passionate about the God that saves. Be passionate about the God that marked you as His child. You are a part of God's family. And when we're a part of a family, we're passionate about family. And God is the Father. He's our Father. He's passionate about us. Let's be passionate about Him. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Take this time right now to speak and to say to God what it is that you need to say to Him in order to start the active pursuit of being passionate towards Him. And mean it. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for what you do. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Father God, we thank you for this day. Father, we thank you for your word, that this word that you have given us is so passionate towards us. Your word gives us truth and light to guide us in this life so that we may pursue you, so that we may have our promises fulfilled by actively knowing you and seeking your face. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity that we have to be part of your family. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Father, and we know that it's up to us to change, to transform our minds. It's our decision. And Father, I say, I choose to change. If you choose to change, say that. I choose to change. I choose to actively pursue you. I choose to change my mind and transform it so that I pursue heavenly realms. I choose to be passionate about you, God. Starting today and in this new season, into the new year of 2015, I encourage you to be passionate about your God. Thank you, Jesus, for this day that you have made. Thank you, Jesus, for this time that you have brought us into. We want to give you glory and honor. Thank you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name, we say amen. Thank you. I want to remind you that this week we have our 18-hour prayer. Let's be passionate about that. And be here if you can. We thank you for that. We thank you for being here today. God bless you this week, today. I pray that I'll see you on Wednesday at the prayer. Have a great day. Have a great week. Pursue passion of Jesus Christ this week. Pursue it. Go after it. Thank you. In Jesus' name. God bless you. Love you. Have a good day. Amen. Give everybody a hug before you leave. Love on them. Amen.